You tell him I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Well, American man.
God bless America.
I'll be an American where at least I know I'm free.
American girls and American guys will touch your ass.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin-skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Alrighty then, here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It's a Wednesday. It's the 11th of June.
Yeah, getting ready for start winding down here, hump day as they call it. We've got quite a number of not so much related things tonight. Got a long list of things to talk about. Hold on a minute, I'm having a hard time getting the word spit out here while I'm trying to do two things at once. There we go. All right. The I want to remind everyone, I've told, oh, by the way, I was thinking about this earlier today. I was hoping I wouldn't forget. I didn't make a note of it. The Survival Tab purchase has been set back 1 week, or I guess I should say moved up 1 week. So it'll be some Monday or Tuesday next week when we do it. We've just been to the wall here, you know, doing a variety of things and haven't been able to take care of things as we should. So we're going to have to put that up a week. So if any of you want to get into that buy of Survival Tabs, if you don't know what Survival Tabs are, just real quick, do a search on them. But just real quickly, they are a complete, it's not a supplement, it is a complete meal in a bottle. You have 180 tablets in a bottle. A bottle will last the average adult 15 days with no other supplement except water. And Jason and I have done this for 15 days straight, and it works. It's something that they got a 10-year shelf life, something to put away for hard times. We're doing these right now at the lowest price in the country, and that is $21.75 a bottle if you buy 10 or more. Any less than 10 is $26, which is still cheaper than most places. Factory price, $32.50. So, and we can have them drop shipped right to you, so you don't have to pay an additional shipping charge, just regular shipping, whatever it may be, to your house. So, we have coming up here on the 21st of this month the free multi-state concealed weapons class for teachers, for educators in public schools. Certain jobs will qualify for that. Teachers, cafeteria workers, janitors, principals, school nurses, people that interact directly with the kids will get their concealed carry training free. Now the next day, if you're interested in hanging out for a day, the next day we're going to have Personal Defense Handgun 1, which is where we recommend people go from there. Why are we having noise here?
And we have judge number 4. I zero, your question, please.
Well, I hate these things. They just start playing and you can't stop them. And you got these little deals on there. It says allow or deny. And I don't want to allow it, but if I keep pushing deny all night long, it, some of them never do change.
But
anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's go ahead and start out here. I read this deal. This is one of those that wouldn't stop. So we're going to try this one more time and see if we can get a good copy out of this. But the police in Chicago and the ATF have started a little intelligence center, a task force type deal, intended to fight legal gun ownership of, well, let me see if we can, before I say it, let me see if we can get this going. Oh, great. Okay, well, let me just read it. Here's a direct excerpt from this. Chicago Police Department, working with the ATF and the FBI, has opened the Crime Gun Intelligence Center to crack down on illegal guns. Now, they're calling them illegal guns here. From what they call, their words, in quotes, three percenters.
I went to Bagnall
either they don't understand what a 3%er is, or they're about to bite off more than they can chew. A number of agencies, including Chicago PD, the Department of Justice, the FBI, ATF, and other regional partners, will operate the new joint task force from within the ATF Chicago Field Division. The target of this crime gun intelligence center, a group the ATF is referring to as 3%ers. It remains constant from year to year that about 40% of the crime guns recovered in the city of Chicago come from Illinois. The other 20% comes from Indiana. The core mission of the Crime Gun Center is to identify these shooters, or these 3%ers, as they call them, and the traffickers that sell them guns and get them off our streets. So I'm thinking that Mike Vanderbo is not the least bit impressed with this development here, since he is the one that coined the term 3%er. Go to 50 Street Irregulars and read the many things that he has concerning 3%ers. But it says here, the last deal says, as such, the new center is part of a shopping list of measures promised by Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel when he debuted the city's planned restrictions on gun stores inside the Windy City. Those planned regulations include videotaping sales and allowing access to FFL holders' inventory records. They're going to have kind of a hard time there. This is this apparently is this last part is Rahm Emanuel's idea. These plans may include having access to the federal firearms license holders' inventory records. Well, inventory records they probably can get access to. 4473s by federal law they cannot have access to, even with a warrant, unless they leave them in the building. Now, they can look at them in the building with a warrant.
This is
but,
the Wells Fargo Works
they can't
project.
Take them out of the building.
Watch
that is against federal law.
Customers strive to take their
so,
next step.
We'll see what happens.
Alessandro of North Pole Air Conditioning.
The,
it's a business
hey,
plan.
Hey, 007, let me see who all is in here anyway. We see,
keep
see some
watching
familiar
and
faces.
To win
Let's
your
see if we got
Wells Fargo Works
any newbies in here.
Hey,
Thunderbore hadn't showed up for a while. Thunder 57, welcome. I haven't seen you for a while. Glad you can make it. Got some anonymous in there.
I grew up
a lot of the regulars, Pumpkin Cat, right? Northwest Heavy. Oh, he just flashed out. Not too late, Mother Earth Mini.
Hey,
Kilo Infidel, Hopper Doc me? Tinker.
Honestly,
007.
I have no prior
right,
business
deal.
Experience. But no.
Hopper, the bureaucrats are not being legal. You're absolutely right. And
I'm Grant Cardone,
Funkin' Cat, I'm certain
25 years of experience
that
working with
the overwhelming majority of 3%ers try to stay within the law. Overwhelming.
Increases.
There may be a few,
to come help but you grow your business. First, I'd like to know what's going
if
on.
If infidel, if you're getting background noise, hold on a minute. I might have a cure for that. Let me try
level.
Something.
What's the next level?
To have a couple more.
Let
trucks,
me see if that's any better.
People that works for
and
me,
if you're getting
so
a double broadcast, then you'll probably need to
who handles the rest of
go
the
to. You may have both players running back
there. We have one desktop at house that is being used for the business.
They're going on both servers, so obviously there's a double broadcast from here, but that's not why you're hearing it there.
Sometimes I have to wait for him to finish.
So something is playing here. All right, well, let me see. Let me turn my sound up and see if I can determine what it is.
Yes, I lost a little bit of money last year.
Do you know two-thirds of all businesses
I don't hear anything.
Or lose money? We want you to be able to take the expansion, the next level, you call it, and hold it. So we got to put some infrastructure in place for you to do that. So you don't just have a pop,
okay,
and then lose it, okay?
Wow, I want to see success, and this will help me to grow the business. It's extremely good what Wells Fargo does for small businesses.
Dude, this is big. You ready for this? Wells Fargo is providing you, in addition to my guidance, with...
Okay, I found it. We'll try that again here in a little bit and see what happens here. Sorry about that. I had my when I muted my sound, I thought that it would mute it going over the air. Evidently, it does not. So we'll keep an eye on that. Sorry about that. I don't know how much of the how much of the broadcast I have screwed up for you, but we'll continue on from here and see if we can do a little better. Anyway, let's dang, I hate that. All right, we'll try this here and see if we can do it differently. I don't know what to do with all right, if it comes back, give me a holler. Let's try this. All right, this thing in Chicago. I was talking to a guy tonight that he's an old Vietnam vet, 20 years in the military, in pain all the time. VA is screwing him over like they have so many other people. But one thing that he agrees on that just about everybody we talk to agrees on. Hey, cowboy, welcome, buddy. Glad to see you in here. I'll be darned. One thing that he agrees on that most of us do is that this thing is out of control. It is completely out of control. It is past the point of no return. There is every day, every hour, something happens that is beyond our range of control. We're past signing petitions. We're past writing letters. We're past making phone calls. And I think that, I don't know what to think. I know that everybody is incredibly frustrated with this deal. If you remember the shooting that went on in Vegas here the other day, the shooting and the declaration by the guy that says the revolution has started or this is a revolution or something like that. I saw a confidential confidential letter today, and I can't tell you where it was from, how I saw it, but it said on there that to expect copycat events. Okay, that's no secret. I mean, all of us know that we're expecting. I don't expect to see copycat events so much as I expect to see the same events going on for the same reasons. The people are frustrated and angry, but I don't necessarily think that these are copycat events. I don't think that future events are going to be because we just had one. I think it's going to be because people have the same attitude that this guy had. He just went about it in a very, very poor way, and should not have done it in that manner. But nevertheless, I think we're going to see a lot more, and this is going to be a catalyst for gun confiscation. And when it's when that starts, or when that's announced, or when they even start thinking about it very seriously, I'm afraid it's going to be game on. I can't imagine that this can go very much longer. Of course, I've said this. I was talked to two different guys today. One of them I fully expected to get the response that I did. The other one, not so much. But he is of the opinion what we talked about was, yeah, I know, I remember what I said 5 years ago, and I know what I said 2 years ago. I know what I said a month ago. I know what I'm saying now, and I know what I'm going to say a month from now. And that is that I don't know how much more we can take. We're on the threshold of something very significant everything going to hell here. And it continues to get worse. So it's not that we're saying things in such a way as to create panic or to make people, just for lack of anything better to say. It's just that every day it keeps getting worse. We say now the same thing we said a year ago. I know. A year ago I couldn't believe it, and it's escalated to a point now where I damn sure don't believe it. The hardest thing to believe out of all this is that we just sit and allow it to happen. What the answer is, I don't know. That's something you all have to figure out for yourself. The 007, the guys that were up in Vegas, the shooter up there that killed those cops and they killed themselves, is had gone to Bundy Ranch, and this memo that I saw today had said, even admitted in there, that the militia had run a background check on them, found out that they were not what they appeared to be, and run them out. This guy went to Facebook and had said some things on there that should have been a red flag warning to everyone. And he said things like, talking about bloodshed and revolution and, it was over and all that. I mean, there's several things that should have alerted everyone to what was about to happen. I think the guy was about two fries short of a happy meal there, so he probably didn't go about this in a manner that other people might have. But and Hopper's exactly right, and I am 100% in agreement with what you're saying there. It's just a matter of I don't know what it's a matter of. It's frustrating. Very frustrating. Not too late. I don't know that we're too concerned about putting a 3% guard on Mike Vanderbilt's house. I know that they are watching him like they do Jeff Black and a lot of other people. But if anyone does anything to, with, or about Mike Vanderbilt, I don't think it will be who you think it is. I think it will be the last thing that you would think of. And I'm going to leave it at that. And you remember I said that if anything ever goes haywire, I'll come back and expound on that. Remind me. I'm holding a thought for that. Let's move on here and get off of this. The more I think about this, the more it frustrates me. But listen to this interview, or at least part of it. I don't think I'm going to play it all, but I think you'll enjoy this. Let's check this out. I don't think there's any language in here. Let me see if I can tone this down a little bit so it buffers a little faster. We may have to
Hey, Tom Shea, this is Joshua Cook from BenSwan.com, and I know that you've been on a lot of the other media outlets. I've been watching that, and
just so you'll know, this video, this Tom Shea is a retired Navy SEAL, and he has some things to say about the trade of five battle-hardened terrorists for one punk deserter.
And, it seems like, wow, can you really trust this administration? You know, it's it seems like they're spending a lot. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions regarding the Bergdahl exchange with Sergeant Bergdahl. And you know, it's amazing because you know you're from South Carolina, you're just down the road from me. So you know, it's amazing. You know that you took a team to try to rescue Sergeant Bergdahl in 2009 in a pretty hostile environment. And I know reports said that even there were six soldiers that lost their lives trying to find him. You know, and now you get in reports that he may have, you know, deserted, or that he may waged jihad. I mean, there's a lot of different stories in the media right now, but I wanted to talk to you about it to get your perspective, because you were actually there trying to find him. So
could you kind of separate all the spin from the fact? And so what is hard for the public and the even the military to try to figure out how to communicate that is irregardless of what happened, what the meaning or what the reason was for Bergdahl leaving, it's getting lost in all this spin. So whether he is a convert, whether he's a prisoner or anything, first of all, he is a soldier until somebody declares him not that way, and he's a U.S. citizen.
Right.
So we had to go after him. It doesn't matter the reason. We knew that it wasn't in an extremist situation, that he'd been held captive. We knew at the time that he'd walked off base under his own demise, if you will. It's still a priority for us as you know, what we do is we're a rescue unit. It's not our primary mission, but it is what we do. And I would still do it today. The reasons for all that are irregardless of what the tasking is, and we are tasked to do it. And we just found a way to do it as safely as possible. And combat's never safe, I can tell you that.
Right, yeah, especially just reading some passages of your new book, Unbreakable. It's pretty intense firefights that you were involved with, just putting your life on the line for our freedom. I do have one question, too. You made a statement that you... That, and this is the statement, I've never heard of one trading one pawn for five kings before. And this is regarding this whole exchange, controversial exchange by Obama, trading Sergeant Bergdahl for five top-tier Taliban terrorists. You know, you call it a plan, a part of a plan. So what's the end game here? Why, you know, why this particular soldier?
Well, that's the the administration is not doing the negotiations. The administration is a higher level. The people that do these negotiations are at a lower level. The CIA, I don't know who it is, but it's not, you know, President Obama himself. He's not the negotiator. It's being done at a lower level. So State Department and CIA are the ones negotiating this, or it could be NSA. I don't know, but it's obviously, it's not in support or defense of the administration. They're not the negotiators. This is of a bigger plan.
All right, we might check into some more of that later. But one of the things that I really appreciated about this is right in the beginning, he says... you know, all the rest of us are out here saying that, you know, the dirty deserter, rah, 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 he should have left him there and everything else. But this is the reason that SEALs and Green Berets and you know, a lot of these special ops folks are a cut above your rank and file troops. What he said... And I quote, he said, first of all, he's a soldier until somebody declares him not that way. And he's a U.S. citizen. We had to go after him. It doesn't matter the reason. We knew he was under an extreme situation, that he had been held captive. We knew at the time he walked off base under his own demise, if you will. It's still a priority for us to do what we do. So he sees that in a manner that he has the professionalism of that admiral that told that stupid-ass Hank Johnson when he's talking about Guam capsizing. He has the professionalism that guy did when he said, we don't anticipate that happening. Instead of laughing and getting up, walking out and saying, really? Did you really just say that, you moron? Which is what I would have said. But I thought that was very commendable of this guy to say that. But the whole thing is, it's interesting. I don't know if it's interesting enough to play it all on the show or not. But I'll tell you what I will do for you, though. I'll go ahead and post this link in there. And if you'd like to, after the show or whatever, tomorrow or sometime, you can check out the rest of it here. There you go. All right. But what he does say is he thinks that there is a lot more to this. This is thing we've said this on the show. A lot of you have agreed with me that there is definitely more to this than what meets the eye. They didn't trade 5 known top-notch terrorists for 1 punk deserter just out of the goodness of their heart. Something else is going on, and this is what this retired Navy SEAL says. He says there's more to this than meets the eye. It is an interesting interview, so go ahead and check that out if you get a chance. But for now, I think we'll take a little break here. Hang on just a second. Let me get this out of here. Y'all have heard that twice already, but we haven't heard this one for a little while, so let's stick that in there. I got a few things to do, so I'll be back in a little bit.
I'll be back.
Prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday. Supper time, I answer to what I've done. Hoops today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sail my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you, and some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts, who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, Just Measure Radio Network.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right. Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, made it back just in time. I see there's a little discussion here on these radios going on. And I'll tell you, these radios, the UV5Rs, are awesome, absolutely awesome radios. They, without getting into the legalities of talking on some of them, depending on your how you have it programmed, you can program all the legal channels on there and everything, but there's places for 125 or 165 channels on there. And there's enough accessories with this that you can have this for, and they're cheap enough that you can have a number of them for different roles, or with all the accessories, you can have one that will go do anything you want it to do. As such, what I mean by that is you can get a let's see, one, two, three different whip antennas for it. You can get an extended battery. You can get a charger for your car, charger for your house. You can get a mobile antenna for it. There's some other carrying, you know, accessories and clips and stuff to go on it. And headset works really well, very, very comfortable. All the time I'm at the ranch, I wear that almost the whole time I'm there, and I forget that I have it on until somebody says something. They're great radios. And Infidel, Cowboy, by the way, you may be interested to know that Infidel is planning on being at the 4th of July thing when you guys come up. I'm not sure about 007. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. But there's going to be a good number of people up there, I think, and for a very worthy cause. So, I'm not sure that I am in agreement, and this is just my own personal opinion, not that I would dispute anybody else's, try to convince anybody else to do otherwise, but I'm not convinced that optics are the number one thing to carry for the civilian. I think that communications are probably I think it depends on what your mission is. You know, I think that weapons and ammo may be number one, because if you can't defend yourself, it don't make any difference what you can see or who you can talk to. So I think that weapons and ammo during almost any scenario, even outside of poop hit the fan or wartime, that weapons and ammo are a good thing. I think that water, not so much food, but I think water is one of the top ones there. And I'm not so sure that communication is, depending on whether you are alone or if you have other people in a group. If you're alone, the communications may not be quite as high up as it would be if you have other people in a group. Optics, very much up there, but I'm not sure it's my number one choice. It's nice to have a obviously it's nicer to have a real good set of binoculars, a real good means of night vision there somewhere. But yeah, Thunderbore, you're right. If you're alone, communication will help you know what's going on around you, if there's anything going on around you. I mean, if you, I agree that if there's, you know what channels, all these things, if you can scan some other channels and find out what's going on, yeah, that's a good thing. and seeing at a distance is important. I don't know if it's as important as defense at close range. So that's something that you're going to have to figure out for yourself, if you know, what kind of environment you're in. If you're in a very heavily, let's say you're in Georgia, East Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, somewhere down there, optics are, why would you worry too much? There's not very many places down there you can see more than, you know, 200 yards, and that's going to be on down a power line right away. So I think a small pair of reasonably priced compact binoculars, probably all you would need. However, if you're out in this part of the country, out in the desert or up in mountains where you may get higher up and can see, so yeah, I think optics are extremely important. So I still think it depends on your mission and your terrain and location, whether it's number one or not. But just think about those things as you, yeah. Kilo, boy, nobody knows better than me how far you can see in West Texas. Let me go off on a tangent here for a minute. When I used to make about half my money shooting pool in the beer joints in West Texas, if it started getting a little close and I needed some money, I would get up and stand up on the toolbox of the pickup down in Fort Stockton or Pecos or somewhere, and look out across the plains, and I'd find a rig that was tripping. And I'd see them by tripping. That means you're pulling all the pipe out of the hole or going back in one way or another. And some of these trips on these deep holes may last for several days. So you can hire out, back in those days, you can't do it anymore, but back in those days, you could hire out as a trip hand. You could go out and find one of these rigs tripping. You drive out there and find out if they're shorthanded. If they are, they'd hire you right there. They pay you in cash. You walk off, you're done, and you've made a week's worth of wages in 2 days. It worked out real well. And then you just go back to the beer joint. When you run out of money, you get up on the toolbox and look for another rig. And I did that for, most of one summer down there. So yeah, you can see a long ways down in West Texas. So you would want optics down there, of course. You'd want to see if there's those green trees way out there. Is there anything around them? Is that a way to find water? That dust way out yonder, is that somebody going, somebody coming? Is it a fight going on, or what's happening there? Explosives? You know, never know. Following some wires to a structure and find out what's over there. So yeah, that's important. So figure out for yourself which one of those would be your top choice there. You know, a while ago we were talking about how bad things are getting and what we've allowed to happen. And so, you know what? There may come a time here in the not too distant future that you may not be able to get certain kinds of cheese. No, yeah, really. You know, we've had all these stories about raiding dairies and the guy that got fined for selling too many rabbits and all this kind of, this SWAT team that come in and tore down the okra plants and all that stuff. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Totally nuts. Well, it appears now that the FDA has put out a statement that may jeopardize a lot of these old cheesemakers. In what the FDA calls a clarification, they're saying that the wooden racks that they that they age this cheese on, they're saying it cannot be adequately cleaned and sanitized. They're saying that they may have to not allow those wooden racks. Now, why couldn't they just use steel, aluminum, plastic, something like that? Well, the wood helps to soak up moisture out of the air and off the outside of the cheese and all that. And they say that wood actually helps give the cheese its taste. And they've been doing this year this way for centuries. And the guy says that he, this one that they interviewed here, saying that every time the cheese comes off, they said sometimes it may take anywhere from a few months to several years for this cheese to age. And he said that when it gets done, pulls the cheese off of there, that he scrubs the... And I don't know why you even bother scrubbing them, to tell you the truth. This cheese has this heavy wax layer and stuff on the outside of it. It's not the cheese itself that... No, that's not true. That's not true at all. There's some other kind of a coating. I think it's a cloth coating that they put on there. But at any rate, I'm not convinced that scrubbing the board even makes any damn difference. But he does either way. So what the FDA is saying is that the porous structure of wood enables it to absorb and retain bacteria. Therefore, bacteria generally colonize not only only the surface, but also the inside layers of wood. The shelves or boards used for aging could be a potential source of pathogenic microorganisms in the finished product. So, you know, the whole story doesn't really matter. What matters is that they are now attacking cheese. So, you take that for what it's worth. Parmesan cheese may not be in the future of your pizza before long. Now then, I love this story. I love it when a plan comes together. This is the most awesome story we've talked about here recently. During an attempted home invasion in St. Louis, it turned into a shooting investigation. What brought this on was a 17-year-old girl was outside getting something out of her car when she was confronted by two armed men. One of them held a gun to her head and told her to go back to the house. Well, it just so happened, unfortunately for these wannabe bad guys, that the dad just happened to look out there and see this happening. So, what does he do? Call 911? No, not so much. He went and got his gun. Now, the only criticism I would have here is, why wasn't it on him? But, you know, it could have been worse. They could have grabbed the 17-year-old girl and knocked her down on the lawn out there and attempted to kill her, rape her, or whatever. And he would have had to go and get his gun. But nevertheless, he got the gun, fired several shots, hit both of the guys. The mother also got a gun and fired around, but she didn't hit either one of them. Well, the first suspect pronounced dead at the scene. Second one ran away, got into the first one's car, and contacted his brother to take him to the hospital. He was in critical condition with gunshot wounds to the chest and both thighs. They said he will face charges. No one at the house was injured. I love that story. That's awesome. If that's not a testimonial for private gun ownership, I don't know what would be. What's going on here? Look at this stuff down through the... Yeah, 007, where was everybody this morning? Amy talked about that briefly this morning, about the cheese, and I thought I'd better throw it in here. We have a few people that hadn't heard about that. But it's not a matter of... Don't these people have anything better to do? Aren't there things out there that really are dangerous, that really should be... checked out, maybe. I'm not convinced. The FDA, I think, is a wasted paycheck and wasted organization anyway. But since they are going to exist, whether I like it or not, why don't we find something that is useful for them to do? Why don't they find a real problem, something that really is dangerous? I'm sure that there's you know, water issues, or there's, I don't know. There's bound to be something out there that they can find something to amuse themselves to, rather than making sure the cheese is not dried on. Now, see, the thing that bothers me here, could it possibly be a real problem? You know, they've been drying cheese on, or curing cheese on wooden racks like that for, you know, 5,000 years. Why are they just now figuring out? Why didn't they figure this out back in the 50s or something, after they had modern testing equipment and all this stuff? Why is it here in 2014 they've all of a sudden decided that cheese could potentially be dangerous? I don't know. I am at a loss. Well, there's how close. Well, we're close enough to break time here. I've got a, hey, T-Dog, welcome. Getting a few new ones pop in. Let me see who's coming in here that we need to check on real quick before break. M. Jantz made it in. Glad to see you. Wabbit 7. Now, there's a new one. A new one for me, anyway. I don't know if you'd be on any of the other shows, but welcome to the shooting bench, anyway. And a couple of anonymous. All right, good deal. I'm glad y'all could make it. You got here just in time for the break. So we're going to do this, and then we'll come back and continue on with some other stuff here. It's... move this stuff around just a little bit here. Yeah, that ought to work for now. All right, we'll be back.
That's what I said. He's done good. But he's better. And I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Yes, Mr. Seagull, so Simon, because she's doing what they're trying to call you.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men had never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDC PASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen, try.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Just Measure Radio Network.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, we got a couple of things here. A couple of girls that really get it. Miss Nevada is one of them. Miss Nevada was, suggested that self-defense training for women is not necessarily a bad thing. Talking about the, we've heard recently of the, what we call the rape culture, where they have suggested, other people have suggested that it's better to allow yourself to be raped because it only lasts for a few minutes and death is permanent. And this Miss Nevada has dared to suggest that maybe you should get self-defense training. The feminists are going nuts over it. Stand by just a minute. All right, we're back. Okay, along those same lines, we have something here that you need to hear, and hopefully this will work. No, it's not going to work. Yes, it is going to work. Maybe so, maybe no. I really wanted to hear this from her. This is Miss Louisiana. Now, there are a couple of things. Well, I guess the biggest thing here is that both of them are Miss America contestants or candidates, I guess. And let me see if this one's going to come alive here. Now, the question that was asked is, in recent weeks, the U.S. has released 5 detainees in Guantanamo in exchange for 1 U.S. soldier held captive in Afghanistan. The U.S. policy is to leave no soldier behind. Do you think it's fair to sacrifice or swap lives to uphold this policy? So if we can get this thing to function properly here, I would like for Miss Louisiana to tell you herself what she thinks about this. Very well put. It's well put, but it's absolutely amazing to me that she would come out and say it in the manner that she did. And this thing's not going to work, so I'm going to have to tell you. She said, "Part of me thinks that we as a country didn't subject ourselves to terrorism, but then I think about how we as a country voted for Barack Obama, the man who does indeed subject us to terrorism." I don't know about y'all, but I think that is an absolutely awesome answer. And but to the fact that she would say that, the fact that she would come out and say it, especially to mention to that's pretty political there. And let's see here. There's. Stand by here just a minute.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe
that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our
children. Thank you very much, South Carolina.
I am hearing.
What a contrast. What a contrast between an absolutely stunning, incredibly gorgeous little girl, but dumber than a sack full of hammers. She didn't say anything, Kilo. She running off at the mouth and didn't say a damn word. And then we got this other one that says, part of me thinks that we as a country didn't subject ourselves to terrorism, but then I think about how we as a country voted for Barack Obama, the man who does indeed subject us to terrorism. Good answer. Kind of like the rape culture. The gal that had the audacity to suggest that women should seek self-defense training. Why, oh why, would they let women seek self-defense training? Why don't you just let yourself be raped? It only takes a few minutes, and it'll all go away. And then, except for the lifelong nightmares, the AIDS, the potential pregnancy, the beating that you may get when you're doing it. I mean, those are all incidental things that's not to be concerned about too much. Because if you protect yourself, and you wind up taking a human life, that lasts forever. Well, that's what they want you to believe. So, I am very much with Miss Nevada. Get some self-defense training. Something like that happens, you light them up. It's that simple. Now, there's a SWAT team in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This happened a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this a little bit the other day when we reported here of this new deal that's happening here that says that if someone reports you weaving or driving erratically or whatever, they have the right to stop you. Well, they don't have the right. They're giving themselves the right. Don't confuse the two. They do not have the right to stop you and search you and all that stuff. But the problem with this is that they can call this in anonymously. You have no way to face your accuser. They're doing it on an anonymous tip and stopping these cars and jerking people out and checking them out. Well, here in Council Bluffs, Iowa, there was a man just working on his tractor out in the driveway. Nobody in particular that anybody knows, just some old boy out working in his driveway. Said a van pulled up with a dozen men with rifles piled out of it and assaulted him. They bashed his head in, breaking some bones in his face, and he honestly believed that they were going to kill him. Well, I'm sorry. It was later determined that the police had attacked a completely innocent man. Imagine that. Can you imagine that a police agency, a law enforcement agency, could possibly make a mistake like that and attack an innocent man? Completely innocent. Due to what? False police report. Yeah, bad intel. Drawing questions about why police acted so brutally against a man who made no attempt to resist and made no threats. Well, this happened back in August of 2012. I mean, it's a new story. The story's a couple of weeks old. But the initial attack was in August of 2012 while he's working on his tractor at his shop. And without any warning, the 12 guys got out with their rifles. He said they ran towards me with machine guns. I looked at him and I'm like, what? He said he was completely blindsided, had no idea what was going on. They tackled him to the ground, driving his face into a piece of steel equipment. And he said he was struck in the head multiple times, 5 times. He was struck so hard that they actually shattered the lenses of his glasses. I was minding my own business and they came in for the kill. He said he did nothing to resist, that didn't stop him from becoming a bloody mangled mess. They were, well, anyway, the reason for this, they shackled him, handcuffed him, took him to jail. He was charged with assault and harassment. After witnesses and some of the cops, eyewitnesses at the scene said he never resisted, never said a word, was completely passive the whole time. And they charged him with assault and harassment. Pretty serious charges if somebody didn't do anything. Well, he said he suffers from Parkinson's disease and was badly injured in this attack. And had to be hospitalized twice. He had a broken orbital bone in his face, a concussion, multiple abrasions and bruises. They tried to justify their actions, as they always do. Didn't we just talk about this again here a few days ago? They tried to justify it because he was working with a hammer when they ambushed him. He had a hammer in his hand when they ambushed him. They call that a weapon. But even one of the deputies said that he never attempted to use it as a weapon. It took 3 months for the government to finally drop the bogus charges against this guy. Cell phone video backed up his account that he did not resist. In fact, it was finally admitted that he did absolutely nothing wrong. He'd just been a victim of what's called swatting. I introduced swatting to you here a couple of months ago, where a person generates a false report, just like we talked about with the driving thing, generates a false report in hopes that the government will go after someone else. It's usually a vengeful thing, a spiteful thing. You know, you let your dog poop on my sidewalk, I'm going to call the SWAT team and tell them you have explosives, fully automatic weapons, whatever. And they're going to come and visit you. That's what happened with this guy. In police state USA, these responses can be a little out of hand. But it turned out that one of this guy's relatives had retaliated against him. For the guy had requested this person leave his property. The person had previously made false police reports, told police that he had made terroristic threats, according to the television station there. So he's now filing federal... the heck was that? Filing federal civil rights lawsuit against the... This was Pottawatomie County, as a matter of fact. Hey, someone... Tell me, where did you last hear about Pottawatomie County? Pottawatomie County Sheriff. Where did you last hear about that? I'll give you a few minutes to think about that. But anyway, it didn't bode well for the government here. They can't do a simple investigation without beating people up. But I would also... sue this family member, whoever it was. Actually, what I'd probably do is I'd probably get him out behind the garage and beat his ass is what I'd do. And then sue him. But I'm going to give you guys just a second here to think about that. Where have you heard of... Hey, Roger made it in here tonight. Good to see you. Where did you hear about Pottawatomie County? Pottawatomie County Sheriff. You heard it not too terribly long ago. Just a little little bit of trivia for you. Let's see here. Trying to look and see what's going on the chat room while I'm waiting for someone to come up with an answer here. It looks Red Mountain Gadsden. By golly, it has been a long, long time. I'm pretty sure that I've seen you in here before, but it's been a while. If you're the same one I'm thinking about. Either way, welcome. No, that's Casper Mountain. That is Punxsutawney. Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania is where Phil lives. No, Pottawatomie County is if you listen to, there's an old C.W. McCall song there that okay, I got you. There's an old C.W. McCall song. It was either the Space Cadet song or the... No, I think it was the Space Cadet song by C.W. McCall, where he's talking about Pottawatomie County. And that's why I kind of caught my eye when I saw this here. All right. Hey, by the way, I... for those of you that may want to be on Schott's Ranch email list, we have an email blast that goes out once a week. Just had one go out today, Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on if we can get it out Tuesday, we will. If we can't get it out Tuesday, we'll get it out Wednesday. But we want to be as consistent as we can. It's only going to be a page or two, and it's going to talk about matter of fact, let me just open up my most recent one here, and let me show you the features of this new email thing. Let's see, it is right there. And it starts out with a just a logo and newsletter. And right at the top, I've put some upcoming events. Now, for right now, we have the most important thing right now is the personal defense handgun class that's coming up on the 22nd of this month. Personal defense handgun 1. This is a great one-day class, defensive handgun skill builder, or for some returning students, something to keep their skills up a little bit. And right now, if you take the CCW class on the 21st, we're going to give you 20% off on the personal defense handgun class on the 22nd. Right now, there's only about three or four spots left in that CCW class. So, and then we've got a deal here that talks about the free training for public educators. I've already told you all that. Then we've got different sections. Now, what you might not know about Schott's Ranch is we have what's called Rifle Mountain Recreation League. That's going to be coming up. We're working on it right now. And that is going to be a thing where we actually sell memberships, where people can come out, get trained, get safety training, and get signed off. And they can come out and say, okay, I'm going to be on this particular range. You have to be checked out for each range and make sure that you're squared away. And you'll be able to come out and shoot on some of these ranges. So... we can have clubs, you know, different activities, things like that. And then we have another section, which is for Alpha Preparedness. Alpha Preparedness Survival Training. Our own Jeff Smith takes care of Alpha Preparedness. He is a top-notch survival instructor. He has a three-day urban survival class. He has a three-day wilderness survival class, and then a number of other smaller classes that go in all in conjunction with. And then we have another guy. He is an electronic absolute genius. He is a freaking guru to the nth degree here on electronic communication, computers, things like that. He does. He is in charge of tactical and preparedness communications. Anything from to radios, different styles, types of radios, how to set them up, how to protect them, how to secure them. There's two different classes that he does. And then we'll have a section for the pro shop, which said right now is being completely remodeled. But as soon as it's available, we'll have that in an online store. Guns, ammo, holsters, tactical gear, all the things that Southwest Shooting Authority has always had will be available in this new pro shop. After that, another section, gunsmithing. Gunsmithing will be... we'll have a different little blurb about gunsmithing in there. Usually it'll be about Glocks and AKs and whatnot, but we do grip reductions on a number of polymer frames. It's just the Glocks is the ones we do the most of. And then there is a, you guys have heard me talk about Chuck Hudson's combat medic class. I'm going to tell you what, for those of you that have attended the combat medic class, you know what a tremendous benefit this is to the prepper, the survivalist, anybody, mountain climbers, hunters, backpackers, anybody out there. This combat medic class is not, it doesn't have to be all about combat. It can be, you may fall off a cliff and run a damn big old stick through your belly or something and be you know, 40 miles from help and down in the canyon where your radio won't get out. Well, you're going to have to do something or you're going to die. So Chuck will tell you how to take care of that. Another section after that is what we call Shots Report. This is anything that we've done in the recent last issue. We talked about our prepper fair, survivalist prepper expo that we went to. This time, a little short blurb. We've got some, you know, keeping the roads up at Shots Ranch has been a little bit of a struggle over the last, well, for quite a while. And so we have recently acquired some piece of road equipment out there that is going to pretty much eliminate that problem for us. Certain times of the year where the road has just gotten bad. Now we can vouch for this right now because M. Jantz just brought a motorhome in there towing a Jeep and didn't have any problems at all getting in or out. So the I think if you're towing a trailer or motorhome, whatever the case may be, it's all good right now. The DVDs, we're going to work on that. We've had a little delay of getting all that done with everything else that we've got to do. So I'm going to try really hard to get that done for you. M. Jan said the roads are better there than they are at home. That's you must have a pretty good trip getting to the house there. But anyway. All right, well, that's, let me see, was there anything else in the, let me look and see if there's something else. Let's see, the Shots Report. Oh, yeah, here's the last section in here is called Cope's Two Cents Worth. This is something where I'm going to share with you whether it's useful or not will be depending on your interpretation. It may be amusing or entertaining in some way, but it's going to be some kind of a hint, tip, story, editorial of some kind that you know, no telling what might show up. And I'm going to just have a little hint or a tip or something there every week. There's also going to be a segment called Tip of the Month. That's not going to be me. That's going to be any of the other instructors that want to throw something in there. Then that's where you'll find it. So it's going to be kind of an interesting email for anyone that wants that. If you do want to get in on that and you haven't been receiving it already, we had kind of a hard time getting it up and running. But it's going full blast now, and I think we've got most of the bugs worked out of it. The thing, this email blast is not just a matter of typing up an email and sending it out. This is a lot more involved than I thought it was. But if you want to get in that, send me an email to the shooting bench at live.com. Spell it all out. Send it to the shooting bench at live.com, and we'll put you on the list here. Most Ricky Tick. I'll get that done this week so that you don't miss out on the next edition that goes out. And if there's any specials for classes, if there's any specials in the pro shop for guns, for any of that kind of stuff, it will be included in this email. Whoever gets this email blast will be the very first in the nation to get any specials, whether it's special pricing, added value to classes, whatever the case may be. You'll be the first ones to get it. So, you know, you can glance at it real quick. If you don't like it, just delete it. There's nothing saying you have to print it off and stack it somewhere and save it. Although, with all the hints and tips we're putting in there, that may not be an altogether bad idea. But, anyway. All right. Well, let me swap a couple of things around here just a little bit. And I think we're going to take a quick break. As usual, I've had a hard time putting things together like I'm supposed to here. All right, that ought to do it. All right, well, give me a few minutes and
I'll be back.
Both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there with her yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cottonwood dawn, the only father was a bloody one. The soles of the big man's feet. And he was caught in about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
The first cut is the deepest. Maybe I know the first cut is the deepest.
Oh, I have all my fingers. The knife goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game, cause that's what it's all about.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
I just hate stupid people.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it.
Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes.
catastrophic firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medic Chat, and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medic Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right. We're back. Let's see if we can finish this up that quick. Some of you may have heard that the recent shooters, murderers, and cop killers in Las Vegas had been at Shots Ranch, at Bundy Ranch for a little while. Well, I've got a letter from Mrs. Bundy here, and I'm going to share this with you, or part of it anyway. The rest of it's kind of irrelevant and kind of long. But she talks about the sad events of the week, talks about the concern for those that were left behind and those that are children asking where's daddy and all that. Okay, that's all terrible. But here's the part that we were talking about here. It says that what we know of Jared and Amanda Miller is they came to the protest site, to Bundy Ranch, right near the ranch. The protest site itself wasn't actually on the ranch. But it says they don't know when they arrived. They were at the protest site for a few days. Said other protesters began to express concern to the militias that were there, the various state militias, of how aggressive and volatile it seemed that Jared was. After some discussion amongst themselves and communication with the Millers, it was determined that it would be best if the Millers leave. Now let me get off of that for a minute, and I'll tell you that this memo that I saw today stated on there that he said a couple of different things, that the militia had done a background check and got rid of him. The second thing is that he said on Facebook that he was told that he said something to the effect of they found out I was a felon. And he would have been then the second felon that I'm aware of that was asked to leave up there. Now, here's how good some of the militia people were. It said the Millers were asked to leave and given a few $100 by one of the militia leaders. The money was given because the Millers said they had sold everything and had nothing to live on. Well, you know, you take your chances. If you go to a place like that, you ought to know if you're a felon and in things involving firearms and everything, obviously you're breaking the law and that there may be some repercussions for that. Nobody asked you to sell anything. The militia didn't. I mean, it was awfully good. I wouldn't have done it. I would have given enough gas money. I would have given enough gas money to get back to Vegas. But after that, they'd be on their own. As far as giving them a few $100, no, I wouldn't. But it said that the Bundy family was totally unaware of any of these actions until this week. She goes on to say that no detail can ever explain why the Millers did what they did. The pain of their actions do not change whether they were at Walmart or Target. The Millers' actions do not add to or take away from the Bundy position that the land they ranch on is state land, not federal land. The Bundys honor federal, state, and county governments in performing the duties as outlined in the Constitution of the United States. The Bundys, along with hundreds of protesters, will always be grateful to the Metro officers who finally came to our rescue. Deputies like Tom Roberts, Shannon Kelly, Brad Empey, and Mark McEwen. These men have saved lives and deserve to be honored, not shot at. The Bundy family asks that we focus on lightening the sorrows of the families that are so tragically affected by this event. So, anyway, that's enough of that. But the Bundy saga is going to be very long-lasting deal here. I had told you that Nightline had got a hold of us due to our involvement with the Bundy deal up here. Well, it was determined today, most likely, that we will not go ahead with the interview with Nightline. It seems that at this point in history, I think that it's, as I said, I think it's important that we get the word out as much as we can, the good, true, honest, and correct word. But I'm just not sure that we want to do it through Nightline. If we could do a live interview, maybe I'd go with it, knowing that it would not be cut, altered, modified in any way. But I think it's been decided here that we're probably not going to go through with that. So for those of you that were looking forward to seeing that interview, sorry about that. Okay, I just got here. Let me go over here and check this out and see who all it was here. Tundra Boar and Cowboy and one other one here. I got your request to get you on the Shots Ranch newsletter. I will get that done tonight. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and forward today's edition to you. I need to send it to three or four other people as well. So I'll add you all together. This will be a little bit different than the average. And by the way, anybody that gets on this, anytime that you want to get off of it, right at the very top, instead of the bottom like most people, right at the very top of this newsletter, you can opt out. Get out of it, unsubscribe, and we'll make sure that that happens just as fast as is humanly possible, because we don't want anyone to think that we're spamming anyone. So, okay, next thing coming up, 4th of July, Independence Day activities. This is not going to be completely wide open to the public, but it's going to be mainly by invitation. I know that there'll probably be a few public ones drift in. But we've got, as I told you, a very specific reason for doing this, for a very, very honorable and deserving person that we had decided not to do anything on 4th of July, actually. And then I got word that one of our friends, listeners, service member from Tucson, his last wish... Well, that sounded bad. His last wish before he leaves the country, going to Japan, was to one more time go to Shots Ranch before he shipped out. So we switched gears, changed horses in the middle of the stream, whoa, stop everything, and decided we'd go back and put on this Independence Day activity for this awesome young man that is headed to Japan. And nothing in the world is going to stop that. I don't care if I'm the only one that goes out there to meet him and teach him helps him with some shooting and other activities that they want to do. I want this young man to have fun and have a memorable time here. The Cowboy said he wants to get up on Sniper Point there. I don't blame him. That's an awesome deal. I'd like to get out there. I don't know if we'll have time, but I'd like to get out there and get those targets painted up where you can find them a little easier. We've got targets scattered across a vast area there. And it's the standby just 1 second. That 007, yeah. You need to make it out there. You know what? You need to bring your wife is what you need to do, 007. You need to bring her out there. Infidel's bringing his daughter. That's going to be awesome. And I think we'll have a good time. So we'll see what's going to be up for the camping activities and all of that stuff. There was some miscommunication about camping and fires and stuff last time that I'm very disappointed in. So I'm going to get that resolved one way or another before we go out there this next time. So anyway, we mentioned earlier, has anyone noticed how gray Obama's hair is getting? When he first come in here, what was it, 6 years ago, his hair was jet black. Not the case anymore. He's as gray as I am. This has not been easy on him. But anyway, it looks like they're, and this is all over, I've tried and tried to debunk this, but it appears it's all over the internet that Obama has mentioned that he's looking to actually impose a gun ban in the United States that is similar to what they have done in Australia. The problem with the folks in Australia is they did not fight back when they should have. They let this go, and most of them are very sorry now that they did. But it looks like he's trying to do something very similar here. There's a quote here. This would be Deputy Press Secretary Josh Earnest said the president's goal is to look for opportunities to act administratively, unilaterally using his executive authority to try to make our communities safer. We're always looking for those opportunities, but none of those opportunities, when they present themselves, is going to be an acceptable substitute for robust legislative action. He said yesterday, this is a few days old here, told us yesterday, parroting developed world talking points, gun grab groups used to stump for undermining the last stronghold against global citizen disarmament. The Washington Times quoted Obama here as saying, a couple of decades ago, Australia had a mass shooting similar to Columbine or Newtown. And Australia just said, well, that's it. We're not seeing that again. And basically imposed very severe, tough gun laws. So I think that everybody's worst fears that we've talked about so many times could very much be coming to pass here. It's not going to be as easy as just the stroke of a pen. It could be done by that, but I think he realizes that way too many people are going to die if he just announces it that way. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they decide to implement this in hopes that in hopes of avoiding a full-scale civil war. And one of those things may be that they instill fear in the remaining citizenry by going to certain people, leaders or high-profile people or whatever, when they go in and take their guns and hopes that they will intimidate, scare others into complying with this. And if that's the case, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get uglier than if he just said, okay, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them in. The story here says to see the types of edicts that Obama means to impose if he can get away with it, one need only look at the gun laws in Australia, compiled by gunpolicy.org, a project of the Sydney School of Public Health, which, while decidedly anti-gun, nonetheless provides instructive and useful compilations of gun laws from around the globe. The let's check that out here and see just what that will reveal to us here. Let's see. Australia. Okay, let's compare this here. The gun numbers in Australia, civilian guns, number of privately owned firearms, both licit and illicit, held by civilians in Australia, 3,050,000. The rate of civilian firearm possession per 100 population, about 15 firearms per 100 people. Now, they're talking about ones that people have retained, even though the law says that they cannot have it. There are reportedly 172,422 handguns in civilian possession in Australia right now after the law was passed. Remember, Armored Recon, coming from Australia, said you would not believe the number of guns still being out there, you know, stashed away for a poop hit the fan situation. But you know, I'm sorry, you've already had your poop hit the fan situation. You allowed those guns to be confiscated by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, maybe, I don't know. And you missed your chance. Number of privately owned firearms, how they rank in the world. In a comparison of the number of privately owned guns in 178 countries, Australia ranked at number 25. That's not bad for a country that has laws that have virtually prohibited the use, the ownership of the majority of firearms. The rate of privately owned firearms per 100 population ranked at number 42 in the world. Number of licensed gun owners in Australia is reported to be, as of 2012, 730,000. Well, unless those 730,000 people own 3,050,000 guns, there's a lot of other guns out there somewhere. In 2010, there was 143,000 more than that, 873,000. In 2010, I don't know why the jump. In 2001, there was 764,000, so it jumped up to a peak at 2010, and then 2 years later, it's lower than it was 9 years earlier. The rate of licensed firearm owners per 100 population in 2000, see, this is the rate of licensed firearm owners. Okay, this is licensed firearm owners, not just firearm owners. In 2012, 3.32. So 2001, 3.96, 2010, 4.06. So roughly 4 people per 100 in Australia are licensed firearm owners. Number of registered firearms, 2012, and this stayed, well, it was fairly constant from 2010 to 2012 at 2,700,000. Here's a good one right here. Unlawfully held guns, this is an estimated number of illicit firearms, unlawfully held guns cannot be counted, but in Australia there are an estimated 200 and somewhere between 260,000, this doesn't narrow it down much, somewhere between 260,000 and 6 million guns. That may be the number of illegally owned firearms. Estimated rate of illicit firearms per 100,000 could be as high as 1.18, which is only, that's almost half, well, a third of the rate of licensed firearm owners per 100 people. Government guns, let's check this out. Number of military firearms. If these guys would decide to take back their country and get their rights and their guns back, the Defense Forces of Australia are reported to have only 241,420 firearms. That is way in the hell less than what the rest of the country has. In Australia, police officers on routine patrol carry one or more firearms. Police in Australia are reported to have 61,211 firearms. That's and it's kind of understandable why they passed this law. Now, I wonder why they expected people to uphold this, to comply with it. They needed to do that because there was not enough in the powers that be here. There just was not enough government guns to hold off the private guns. Total number of gun deaths. Now, this is very misleading. In Australia, annual deaths resulting from firearms. All right, tell me, before we look at these numbers, tell me, is this, is it suicides? Is it cops, law enforcement, gang-related accidents, shootouts among private citizens over disputes over girls or what it is? But it is right now. In 2011, was 188 total in Australia, which is down a little bit from 224 in 2010, 223 in 2009, and it stays in the 200s all the way back to 2002, and doesn't get over a high of almost 700 all the way back to 1979. Rate of all gun deaths per 100,000. We don't need to go into all that. So let's compare this with homicides. Now, they said total gun deaths. Now, here in Australia, annual homicides by any means, coincidentally, by any means, not by guns, but in 2011, it was 188, which was the same as total gun deaths by authorities, accidents, hunting accidents, whatever the case may have been. Homicides, let's see, by any method. Here's gun homicides. Gun homicides, this has not been a good thing. What's the matter? Not working?
No, I'm
so
tired.
Oh.
It's worn out over here. Run out of gas.
Amy's sitting down here and she's pooped. She's been busy all day.
I haven't. That's what's bad.
In Australia, annual firearm homicides 2011 were how many? 25 in the whole cotton-picking country. So that goes back to the total homicide or total gun deaths. That means 163 of those were something other than homicides. Suicides, accidents, whatever. It's funny though, as you look down through here, there's 25 in 2011, 27 in 2008, 15 each 2004 and 2005, and then it jumps up a little bit, gets into the 40s, 50s, back as far as 1996, go back to 1988 for 123. Now, that was guns, period. How about handgun homicides? In the whole country, 2011, there was 3. 4 in 2010, 9 in 2009, 7 in 2008, 3 again in 2007. The highest ones were 14 in 2006, 12 in 2002, 13 in 2001. So there's... is it worth the... Now, not to say that one life isn't worth anything that you can do to save it, but from the degree of crime and violent deaths that we've seen since their laws were enacted, is it really worth violating these people's rights? Of course, they don't have the same type of constitution we do. But is it worth violating these rights, spending the money that they spent, the taxpayers' money, millions and millions of dollars, or pounds, or whatever they call them over there, to violate rights, confiscate personal property, destroy it, whatever it was that all this that took place here, and all they're having is three handgun deaths a year anyway. So how many long gun homicides? Well, 11. 11 in 2011, 14, 18, 11, 14, 15, 10, 5. That was back in 2004. 24, 20, and 10. So they haven't seemed to accomplish a whole lot by doing this in the manner that they did. Now, gun homicides other than, listen to this, and see if this doesn't ring a bell for you. Gun homicides other than long gun or handgun. What do you think they're talking about? I think they're talking about homemade guns. I don't think they're talking about machine guns. I don't think they're talking about, what else could there be? If it's not long gun and it's not handgun, that doesn't narrow it down too much. I think that's at least a portion of these are homemade guns. 2011, again, there was 11. 18, 10, 9, 11, 12, 5, 10, 24, 13, 24. There's more here than, it's a little bit more than the long guns, quite a bit more than the handguns. Suicides in Australia is pretty high. In 2011, 2,272. There are over 2,000 consistently all the way from 2011 to 1988. Every single year, just a little over 2,000. 2,000 is never broken. It goes from a lowest of 2,096 to a high of 2,390 or something like that. What about suicides by gun? All guns. 135 of those in 2011. And it does jump up to 521 in 1988. Pretty steady rise. It's stays pretty steady from 2011 to 2001. No, really to 2003. And then it starts climbing fairly rapidly there. Handgun suicides, 17, 25, 15, 14, 13, all the way down through 2001. Long gun suicides, up in the hundreds, 100. No, the highest was 173, lowest was 99. This is what other gun suicides, other than long guns, other than handguns, 16 in 2011, a high of 55 in 2004. Accidents, unintentional shooting deaths, again for the third time, 11 in 2011. And that hasn't been, the highest was 2005 at 50. But all the rest of them, 30, 19, 29, 24, 18, 15, 19, 18, all the way down from, no, the highest was 2004 with 52, 2005 with 50. So, that's your unintentional deaths. Handgun deaths. Now, listen here. How do you like this? Unintentional handgun deaths in Australia Accidents, 2011, 0. 2010, 1. 2009, 0. 2008, 1. 2007, 0. We're developing a pattern here. 2006 to 2003 were 3 each year. Long guns. Hold on just a second here. Unintentional long gun deaths, quite a bit more than handguns, but still not very many. We have 7, 9, 5, 4, 3, 6, 3, 8, 11, 10, and 6. Other gun deaths, other than long guns, or either unintentional gun deaths, other than long gun or handgun, 4, 3, 3, 4, 4, 2, and then in 2005 we had quite a jump, 47, 44, 26, 20, and 12. Gun deaths from undetermined cause, there's no use even going over that because it's so vague that it doesn't make any difference. Justifiable gun homicides. Now remember, we need to add these into the deaths up there. This is legal intervention with gun in spite of the laws. We've had more of these than accidental deaths. We got 4, 6, 3, 1, 6, 4, 10, 4, 5, 4, 7, 7, back to 1997. It doesn't have every single year listed, but let's see. I'm going to get into, here's homemade guns. In Australia, the prevalence of illicit craft or homemade firearm manufacture is reported to be low. Well, it could be, but it still, I think, accounts for some of those other things that we were talking about a while ago. So, anyway, that's gun regulation, firearms regulation, firearm law. Well, we don't need to go into all this. Restricted firearms. Here's a right to possess firearms in Australia. The right is not guaranteed by law. That's a different constitution. Restricted firearms. Civilians are not allowed to possess automatic or semi-automatic firearms, self-loading and pump-action shotguns, handguns with a caliber in excess of 38, with only narrow exemptions, semi-automatic handguns with a barrel length less than 120 millimeters, which is somewhere in the vicinity of 4 inches, I'm not sure exactly, but and revolvers with a barrel less than 100 millimeters. So if you remember the old Benson and Hedges commercial, the silly millimeter longer, so you figure that was what was that Benson and Hedges 101s, whatever it was, you figure that's about the length of a extra long cigarette, so it's around 4 inches. In Australia, private ownership of fully automatic weapons is prohibited with only narrow exemptions for permanently inoperable collector's display or museum guns. In Australia, private ownership of semi-automatic assault weapons and their lookalikes strictly prohibited, all but in exceptional circumstances. Private possession of handguns, pistols, and revolvers is only permitted subject to stringent conditions. So, there's more. You know what? If you guys are, how many do I have any with me? Did I run everybody off? I still got most everybody. Okay, well, since we do, then I guess I'm going to go ahead and talk about this just a little bit more, because I think this is, I want you to understand what we are looking at here. This is what's going to happen to us if we allow it to happen to us. In Australia, only licensed gun owners may lawfully acquire, possess, or transfer a firearm or ammunition. Applicants for a gun owner's license in Australia are required to prove genuine reason to possess a firearm, for example, hunting, target shooting, collection, pest control, and narrow occupational uses. In law, personal protection is not a genuine reason. Minimum age for gun ownership in Australia is 18 years. Or as young as 10 years while under the immediate supervision of an appropriately licensed adult. Let's see, background checks, reference required for firearm license. In Australia, third-party character reference for each gun license applicant are required for some license categories. Domestic violence, if you've got a license, it will be denied or revoked. If you safety training, understanding of firearm safety and law, tested in theoretical and or practical training course, is required for a firearm license. In Australia, gun owners must reapply and re-qualify for their license every 1 to 5 years, depending on the category. Authorities maintain a record of individual civilians licensed to acquire, possess, sell, or transfer. Licensed owners are permitted to possess only the number and type of firearm specified on their license or acquisition permit. Licensed owners in Australia are permitted to possess ammunition only for those firearms for which they have. So if you got a box of 22 shells, so you can go out with your neighbor and shoot his 22, but you don't have one, you'll be breaking the law. There's a limit on the quantity of ammunition may be purchased in a given period. In Australia, private sale of firearms, sale and transfer of firearms is prohibited unless conducted and registered by a licensed dealer. This is what they're trying to do here. Remember Feinstein, was it Feinstein? Yes, Feinstein's deal there. If she would have got her way 2 years ago, that would have been the same thing here. You cannot trade a, you cannot give your son your 10/22 or your Mini 14 or your SKS without going through a dealer to do it. You cannot loan your neighbor a high capacity magazine for an AR-15 or whatever without going through a dealer. Your magazines are supposed to be registered, and I'm curious to see how they were going to accomplish that. The number and type of firearms which can be sold by a licensed gun dealer to a single gun owner is limited to one per acquisition period in accord with the firearms license category. Minimum wait for a lawful purchase to be completed is 28 days for a first sale or transfer, with exemptions in some states and territories. In Australia, gun shows and temporary firearm dealing events in some jurisdictions are regulated in law. I'm going to do one last one, and then I'll let you guys go to bed. Carrying guns. Carrying guns openly in public. In Australia, carrying a firearm in plain view in public place is prohibited without genuine reason. In law, personal protection is not a genuine reason. In Australia, carrying a concealed firearm in a public place is prohibited without a genuine reason. Same thing. Personal protection don't count. If you get caught doing this, the maximum penalty for unlawful possession of a firearm, 20 years in prison, depending on the jurisdiction and the category of the firearm. So that's what's going on down under right now. So the I see we have Castle in there. Good to see you. Glad you can make it in there and see us tonight. Cowboy, glad you made it. All of you that are first-timers tonight, glad you could make it. Hope you'll join us tomorrow. Tomorrow night is all gun-related. Thursday nights, we don't do anything but talk about guns. So if you can join us for that, that would be good. And Friday night, of course, pretty much all devoted to classic country music and kind of winding down. And Cowboy, boy, I am glad that you said that. I had completely forgotten. I think I have your little piece of paper with that in my briefcase in there. If I don't, I will email you Most Ricky Tick. I promise you that will go in the mail tomorrow. Don't let me forget, Amy.
What's that?
Cowboy needs a book.
Okay.
He paid for it when we were up there for the open house, and I have neglected my sorry self to get that off to him.
Okay. Well,
so, Amy will take care of that, Cowboy. I'm sorry about that. Yep, Thursday night's all gun stuff. Friday, we wind down for the weekend. No doom and gloom. No nothing unless the balloon goes up. We're not going to talk about other ugly things. Okay, with all that being said, I think I'm going to sneak on out of here. We'll see y'all in the morning for Amy's show, and then again tomorrow night for the all gun-related version of the Shooting Bench. Good night, guys.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.